T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
11 minutes after 3 o'clock on a chilly Wednesday, hump day, really, afternoon. Jordana Green, Paul Douglas, thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon.
Sure. Good to be with you again.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
And you're abandoning me tomorrow. You are leaving me again.
I am.
What
I
did
am.
I do? What
I'll
did
miss
I
you
say
a lot.
Wrong? No, you're not.
Not really.
Are you going to send me another one of your postcards? The weather is here. Wish you were beautiful.
Yeah, right. No.
It was fun the first few times, and it hurts. It hurts me.
You made fun of me for going somewhere cold on vacation.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've done the ski vacations. I like to ski, although now you're quite a bit younger than me, so you snowboard, just like my kids, my boys, who are no longer kids. They're 30 and 28, but they snowboard.
That's they said, yeah, Dad, only old people ski.
I don't know about
The hipsters, we like to snowboard.
I don't know about that.
Which is more like surfing. I think the sensation is a little more like surfing than actual skiing.
Well, that I wouldn't know about because I would never surf. Because we've had this discussion. I rarely go in the ocean because of the sharks.
Oh, please.
I did do a little like bodyboarding with the kids when we were down in Florida. But I will not really go too far in the ocean because you're never more than, what, 100 meters from a shark? And I'm very delicious. So I will not go.
You would be a tasty treat.
I will not go. I'm not very meaty, but I will not go in the ocean.
I surf Mille Lacs.
And?
The waves are not as big. Although if you get a big storm brewing, like a thunderstorm moving in, you can get some pretty good breakers on Mille Lacs. And,
you surf?
And a few muskies, you know, might nibble at you. But
Have you been surfing?
I've tried it a few times.
It looks hard.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things like golf that you need to pick up when you're young, and then it becomes muscle memory, and you get better as time goes on, and it becomes fun doing it. But it's one of those things I wish I could do.
Sure. It seems like a cool thing to do.
It does.
I'll never know.
Yeah.
I'll never know. We have a fun, packed show for you today. Trust me, it's not just about surfing and snowboarding, but I will miss you for the next few days. I'll be back on Monday. If you are a listener to the show, you'll know that Paul and I had John Tevlin, who is from the Star Tribune, 20-year writer at the Star Tribune, on with us last week. He's retiring. He's the Metro writer. He's retiring. Now, he started as a labor writer, writing about business. They called it labor at the time. He said something to us that stuck with both of us that we've been processing that we want to talk with you about today.
I'm still unpacking it.
Right.
Yeah.
John said, people are meaner now than when he was starting to write earlier in his career, and certainly earlier 20 years ago when he came to the Star Tribune. He said, we're meaner. He said, people will leave rambling, drunken messages, you know, 2 a.m. on his voicemail. They will write nasty comments in the comment section at the Star Tribune, you know, a text or tweet nasty things about his pieces. And he says, one of the reasons I'm retiring is because I don't want to be around that anymore. And there are many other reasons, but he said, yeah, that was a motivator.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it got Paul and I thinking, Paul and me, and are people meaner today than they were 20 years ago? Are they?
It's a glass half full. I don't think they are, at least to your face.
Mm-hmm.
In our real lives, face-to-face, interacting with people, one-on-one, I don't think, as a rule, people are meaner. But we have our real lives, and then we have these shadow lives, these online lives, kind of our alter egos on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And we say, you know, you get to say things that maybe you couldn't or shouldn't or would never say face-to-face to that person. But now that you're kind of hiding behind that computer or tablet or phone, maybe you can say what you really want to say. So I think it has accentuated the good and the bad in all of us, right? And you hope that the good at the end of the day wins out, but all of us are capable of saying hurtful things. And,
sure. And the
anonymity. Yes, I agree with
that. Brought that out in us. If we can text it or tweet it or, you know, write it in the comments and no one's going to know who we are more vocal about negativity and meaner.
But even Twitter, I mean, Twitter, it's not really anonymous. I mean, people know who you are, right?
You don't have to put a picture and you just have a handle.
Right.
I mean, mine says Jordana, WCCO, so you know who I am. Yeah. You know who Paul is. But not everybody has their persona, their true persona on Twitter.
I think it's tough in the public eye because people really can say anything they want.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a private citizen, it's a little bit tougher, and maybe you can prove slander. But if you're on the air, if you're on television, if you're in print,
mm-hmm.
You're pretty much fair game, which means you have to try to develop a thick skin. And that's hard because if your skin gets too thick, then you become cynical. And that doesn't help anybody, mm-hmm. right? A lot of cynics out there.
Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Our text line is 81807. Join this conversation. Are we meaner? In talking about this before the show, Paul and Susan both brought up a television show called The Black Mirror. Is that what it's called? I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's good.
Okay, so
it's Netflix, right?
So
I think it's Netflix.
Yeah. It was originally a British show.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It still is a British show, but yeah, they're airing it on Netflix.
So tell people about the episode about the ratings.
Oh, well, like today, when you go on Uber, when you take an Uber and you rate the driver and the driver rates you and
correct.
Everybody's shooting for 5 stars,
why,
right?
That's why you're super nice to your Uber driver.
Well,
remember, when you used to get into a taxi, were you as chatty with the taxi cab driver as you were with the Uber driver?
I think it's pretty effective, actually. Everybody is accountable. The drivers are accountable, and you are accountable as a guest in somebody's vehicle.
So you're pretty nice.
But the premise of this Black Mirror episode was that everybody rates everybody all the time for every transaction. You get, you know, you go down to Caribou and get a cup of coffee, you're going to be rated.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, anytime you interact with another human being, there's a potential for a rating. And this woman, you know, gets her score way up there. She's a superstar. And then she has a bad experience at the airport and it unravels and one thing leads to another. And in real time, you can see her score dropping from a 5 to a 4 to a 2 to a 1.3. And she becomes apoplectic. She becomes insane because everything is her rating.
That's crazy.
And it, you know.
But it's a fascinating mirror, no entendre on the name, to our real life. Would we be nicer if we knew we were getting rated, if we knew we were being watched? I mean, isn't really that the idea of God? Someone's always watching. You should
right.
be nice. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't do bad things, even if you're not going to get caught, because it's the right thing to do. So I was thinking about this after our conversation. Okay, how many of my daily interactions would be different if I knew I was being rated? And I'm ashamed to say many, many of them. I would probably be nicer to my kids. I would be nicer to maybe the person at the checkout if I was on a phone call, you know, trying to make a phone call and trying to go to the grocery at the same time. Maybe I'd put the phone down. Maybe there are a lot of interactions in my life that I would be kinder.
It's kind of the golden rule, right? Uh-huh. I mean, the stuff you learned when you were 5, treat other people the way you want to be mm-hmm. treated. And are you nice to people that you don't necessarily have to be nice to? Yeah, you got to be nice to your boss. You have to kiss mm-hmm. up. Certain people you should be nice to. Your minister, your priest, your rabbi, you better be nice mm-hmm. to specific people. But, you know.
The checkout girl.
Right.
The taxi driver.
And to me, that's a measure of character. If you're nice to people you don't have to be nice to. If it's
so
just part of your nature.
The question was, we started with, are we meaner today than we were 20, 30 years ago? Bob's in Eagan. He's calling in with a comment. Hi, Bob.
Well, I don't think I agree a lot with Paul when he says face-to-face people are still kind, but now we have the internet and you can, like you say, tag this person, say, yes, I got cut off in traffic and this and that. But, you know, I still think we're human and we do a lot of good things. But it's also true. I used to really care for Paul, but you know, this weather has been really sucky.
I blame myself. I am so sorry. So sorry, Bob.
It has been just really bad. I'm kind of hoping for a little snow with a little
yeah, me too.
Rise. If you could do that, that'd be wonderful.
Bob, put $20. No, really. Put $20 in an envelope, Bob. And P.O. Box, no. Hey, I'm rooting for the snow, too. I would love to have it snow and 25 degrees for the next 2 to 3 months. That
35.
Would be, that would
no,
be
but
awesome.
This is times when we're tested. I'm sitting here right now waiting for a friend. I'm looking at this guy getting ready to tow a vehicle who looks like, well, he's here to help somebody. Okay. And it's, but, you know, he's out here working his butt off when it's 15 below or 20 below.
Right.
And, you know, it's sometimes it's like he gets home and he, you know, sure, he worked overtime and this man makes a little extra money, but where's his, you know, he's just got to know he did a good job. You know,
right.
He did a great job. He went home, probably had, and, you know, had a nice meal, but, you know, a lot of jobs are thankless where you guys are a little bit in the spotlight because you're on the radio. But there's, you know, so many people out there who have thankless jobs, but that's why you got to be extra nice and just try and be extra nice to everybody you can.
It's a good reminder, Bob. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for calling.
I'll work on the snow, too.
He'll try.
I'll keep kicking the Doppler.
He'll try. I don't like to think we're meaner, so Bob is restoring my faith in the world. But I really took what John said to heart, and I've been thinking about it. 651-989-9226 is our number, or you can send us a text at 81807. It's 322. We'll be right back.
Jordana and Paul, at the top of the show, we asked, are we really getting meaner? John Tevlin said as much. He's retiring from the Star Tribune, and one of many factors was his opinion that that people are meaner, and that's based on, I guess, some of the reaction to some of his columns over the years. And it has struck a nerve. Some great listeners texting in their opinions. I think our ability to articulate our disagreement with each other in a dignified manner has deteriorated over time.
I agree with that.
The sentiment hasn't changed much, but our ability to communicate has. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Some other texters, I think social media has something to do with people being more mean. Absolutely. My wife and I, maybe my wife and I are old school. We don't have Facebook. We don't have Instagram. We don't tweet. However, we do have a small garden center in the western suburbs. A lot of people have asked us why we don't have a Facebook page and all the things that go along with social media. It's because we feel person to person is the only way to go. Mark and Jen in Minnetonka.
Yeah.
Mark, you should have told us what the name of your garden center was. A little free plug will help you out, okay?
Yes, people are far meaner today than they were 10, 20 years ago. I was in rural Minnesota where everybody waved at everybody driving down the road.
It's our obligation.
Yep, obligation as decent humans to be kind to everyone, even those that are rude to us, even though that is very difficult at times. That is a true test of humility and humanity, and all of us often fail.
Gosh, that's a great text. That is a great text. Mm-hmm. Barbara's in Red Wing. Barbara, what do you think about all this?
I think that they have gotten meaner. I think that maybe the Facebook, that brings a challenge of I can express my opinion. Slander, I think, is one of the greatest growth industries that we have right now. Anybody can take a pot shot at somebody. Anybody can destroy their career. Mm-hmm. It's just really gotten kind of out of line. And I think that there are good people out there, kind people, face-to-face. But I think this hiding behind things. Also, I think people are getting upset about things more. I mean, you used to roll things off of you, okay. But now the traffic, everything is bothering everybody.
More sensitive.
I don't think it's necessary.
Barbara,
that's
great
good point,
call.
Barbara.
And she had a great line. She said, slander is a growth industry.
Yeah, write that down.
I know, Barbara. That's a tweetable moment, as Oprah would say.
Compromise wasn't a dirty word 20 years ago, right?
That's right.
What's the common ground? What can we agree on? Let's start there,
Jordana,
and build on it.
Jordana and Paul, I always told my kids, with their actions, can you explain why you did this to your mom? If you can't, it's probably a bad idea. Mm-hmm. I like that one. People seem to think sarcasm is a virtue now, so they do seem a bit meaner. Someone says, I don't totally agree with meaner, but much more disrespectful. Okay, manners are sometimes non-existent. Cindy has taught for 39 years and really sees it. Rick's wife.
This texter says, legalize pot, we'll all be kinder.
I think I agree with
we'll
that.
We'll all be stupid. We'll all be stupid, but we'll be kinder, and we'll all drive at 10 miles an hour.
Guys, you can treat people the way you want to be treated, but that doesn't mean you're going to. I know. We all say we want to. Yeah. Really, we want to. It's just hard sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. And I agree with this listener. People are so much bolder sitting behind their computer screens on social media saying things they wouldn't say face-to-face.
That's so true. That is so true. Sadly, that's the allure of the internet, this texter writes. We can all be SOBs and not have any face-to-face consequences.
Face-to-face. So how do we get the wheels back on? Can we put the wheels back on the bus?
We have to be conscious of it. We just need to be conscious of it. You know, I'm going to walk around with the thought that everyone's rating me, so I should be really nice to everybody.
Well, the big guy upstairs is rating all of us,
right? That's right, yeah. And he's always there, that. So I knew that. But sometimes you just, when you're online too long or there's traffic or somebody cuts you off, you tend to forget something.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
When we get back, we're actually going to talk with somebody who is actively working to solve this problem. A young woman who has created something called the Nora Project that is teaching kids to be kinder and more understanding of other kids with disabilities. We'll speak with her in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personality.
You're still the one, Jordana. You're my radio wife.
I am still the one.
Or number seven with a bullet. No, you're the one. You're the one.
Oh, I love that song too, Paul.
I love Orleans.
That is a good one.
Some troubling statistics. The Nora Project. You're going to be hearing more about the Nora Project here in the next couple of minutes. But a stat that really made me do a triple take, Jordana. Students with disabilities are frequently isolated from their typically developing peers. There are reasons for that. Logistical reasons that have to do with how they learn, how they move around because of medical fragility. But students with disabilities are four times more likely to be bullied than their typically developing peers.
So sad.
And this is a symptom of a much larger problem. A recent Harvard study said that, quote, youth appeared to be more focused on success than concern for others. So how do we tackle that?
How do we change that? That's right. It's all about being kind, being empathetic, and maybe learning something. Because when you understand something, you can respond in a more adequate way. That is what our next guest is trying to do with kids. Lauren Scherrero is the founder of the Nora Project. And the Nora Project is a nonprofit that teaches empathy by sparking friendships between young students and their peers with disabilities. Lauren, welcome to the program.
Hey, Lauren.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
What got this off the dime? Just curious, is there a creation story with the Nora Project?
There is a creation story. I'm the executive director of the Nora Project, and I'm also Nora's mom. And my daughter Nora was born 3 years ago, very prematurely. She weighed 1 pound when she was born. And a series of complications over the first year and a half of her life resulted ultimately in her having fairly profound brain damage. And when I got the news of her brain injury, I called my cousin and I wept. And I thought to myself, you know, in my 31 years on this planet, I don't think I've ever known or been friends with someone with a profound disability. And here I am now, the mother of a child who's going to have one. And I was afraid that she would feel alone. I was afraid she wouldn't have friends. And I told my cousin this, and my cousin's a fifth grade teacher. And she said, what can I do? And I said, it would be really great if you could just teach your students to be nice to kids like Nora. And she took my ask and ran with it to places I never imagined and created an entire framework for teaching empathy, as you mentioned, specifically by sparking friendships between students and their peers with disabilities. So bringing kids with disabilities into classrooms, having students research their disabilities, get to know them, play with them, interview their parents. And all of this came from just, you know, one conversation and sort of a desperate moment. And the rest is history. We're 3 years in and growing.
So where is this happening? Is it at any school that wants it? Do you go in and do some teaching with the teachers? Or how does it? How do you implement?
So we began that first year just in my cousin's school. She piloted the curriculum. It's actually not a curriculum. It's a framework for teaching English and language arts. Mm-hmm. So it's a philosophy. We say if you're going to teach storytelling, if you're going to teach metaphor, why don't you use these examples of poetry about kindness or poetry written by a person with a disability? Mm-hmm. So it's a way of teaching the lessons that students already have to learn by incorporating lessons on kindness and disability. So it's actually a year-long program. There are 5 phases to the program. That first year, we did it in my cousin's classroom. Last year was our second year. We were in 4 schools. This year, we're in 8. We're hoping to be in 25 next year. There's a summer training where teachers get a full training on a curriculum, on inclusion. I'd be happy to walk you through the various phases of the project, but we don't just go in. At this point, we've been growing by word of mouth, but we do an extensive training and provide extensive support throughout the school year.
What have you seen? I know you're only in business, so to speak, a few years, but what has been the effect on the children with the disabilities and those learning about them?
I think there's one story that really captures that better than anything else. I mean, I can give you statistics, but the story is my favorite. This year, we had a parent call and want to enroll her daughter as a Nora friend, which is what we call the students with disabilities who are paired with classrooms. And she said, I want to tell you how I heard about the Nora Project. And we said, sure, great, give us the story. She said, I was at a block party this summer with my daughter, who's nonverbal, who has autism. And she was sitting on the sidewalk watching a group of kids on the bounce house. And 2 girls came over and sat next to her and took her hands and started walking with her toward the bounce house. And I ran over and I said, girls, that's really sweet, but this is my daughter and she has autism. And they stopped her and they said, you know, we're part of the Nora Project. We want to play with her.
I'm going to cry.
Wow.
And I think that that's everything. I think what that shows is that kids with disabilities are being included and having these really positive experiences. But equally important, it's showing that the typically developing students are recognizing their power to have an impact and to be inclusive and really grasping the gravity and importance of that type of behavior. So to me, that's just a story that captures it all. Mm-hmm. But we are doing impact studies and we do have statistics and we are seeing major growth in a bunch of areas aligned with empathy and altruism.
Lauren, I spent some time in Winnetka on the north side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Great community, Northbrook, that whole area. I see that you are in 4 states, 8 mm-hmm. schools, 25 classrooms, 600 participating students, and 70 Nora friends. How would schools get involved if they want to just learn more about this and how they might implement this curriculum? And are you in Minnesota yet?
We are not in Minnesota yet, and I have to tell you that breaks my heart because I went to McAllister.
Oh.
I started my career as an attorney at Robbins Kaplan. I love the Twin Cities, and the project has gotten so much support from my college classmates, from my colleagues at Robbins Kaplan. So I know there's a great community up there. But to get involved, just go to our website. It's the www.thenoraproject.ngo. And click on Get Involved, and there's a link there for interested teachers and parents.
Okay.
Lauren, how is Nora today?
Thanks for asking. She's doing great. She's 3.5. She is crawling. She's babbling a ton. She started preschool, and she loves it, and we are just grateful for every single day.
Amazing work that you're doing. And before we let you go, I know we don't have time to go through the whole curriculum, but for parents listening, maybe they just picked up their kids. We got some kids in the car listening. What is one piece of advice that you can give to parents or to kids to reach out to someone with a disability and show some kindness?
I think the hardest thing for parents is knowing the first question to ask when they see a child with disabilities. So I'll tell you the question I like getting because I frequently go to the park and I feel ignored or I see books, and somebody once asked me this question. It was the best thing in the whole world. It was, tell me your child's story. Mm. Tell me your child's story. So it's a great icebreaker. There's, no shame, no discomfort, and I'm sure the parents will be happy that there is interest in who their children are. So it's a great icebreaker. I think it's the line to lead with.
Beautiful. Lauren Sherrero, founder of the Nora Project, and it's thenoraproject.com?
.ngo.
.ngo, thenoraproject.ngo. Thank you so much.
And I bet you Nora's very proud of her mom.
I have no doubt she is.
It's very cool. Well done. Thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank you.
That's great verbiage to use.
It's cool, too, how a great idea, I mean, if the timing is right and the need is there, it just just takes off.
Boy, this is a good time to teach kindness.
Yeah.
Anytime is, of course, but in this world of social media and after the conversation we just had, you know, it's a good time.
Right. We started with a rant. Are people really meaner? Mm-hmm. And how do we address this? And the way we address it is with our kids, right?
And she's so true. When I see a kid with a disability at the park, I mean, I remember taking my kids to the park. You don't know what to say. You don't want to say, so what's wrong with your kid? I mean, that's just horrible, but that's what you're thinking. That might be the verbiage you're thinking in your head, but you don't know the right words. So she said, tell us your kid's story. Tell me your child's story.
Yes.
I think that is fantastic. And hopefully parents of children with disabilities will be open to that and be open to sharing, because I know my kids always feel good after they reach out or they help somebody in school or they push a wheelchair. So this needs to happen more.
Isn't it amazing how you do something good, you feel good?
There you go.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
There you go.
I think the creator actually had that figured out.
Jordana and Paul here. I think our last guest really just restored my faith in humanity.
She was amazing.
She was terrific. And Mark's in Plymouth. Mark, we got about a minute left, but you want to get a comment in here, sir?
Yes, when my children were, they're 36 and 32, but when they were young, they went to preschool at St. David's School for Early Childhood Development in Minnetonka, and the classes were made up of non-special needs kids and special needs kids, and it worked out beautifully.
Wow.
They never noticed a difference. It was wonderful.
Isn't that sweet? So just, you know, being around different folks really helps.
Yeah, it was just, it worked out so beautifully. I was just, it was a great school.
Awesome, Mark. I'm glad you got in. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Lessons that you keep with you for the rest of your life, right?
Right. That's right. And when you learn it that young, then disabilities just become, oh, well, you have blonde hair and I have brown hair and you have that crutch and I don't. It's just it.
The culture is every man for himself, and yet we're supposed to care for each other, right? I mean, so in a way, you're sort of swimming upstream against the popular culture, which is grab as much as you can, every man for himself. And yet every faith.
Sure, absolutely.
We're supposed to look out for everyone.
And every kindergarten, like Mark's kids' kindergarten. They teach you to help your friends.
If we could be more like kindergartners, I think
we'd all be better off.
Milk and cookies and nap time.
Nap time. More naps.
Yes.
More cookies.
Yes.
More sharing.
More sharing.
Less running with scissors.
Coloring. Yes, all those things.
When we get back, we will have weather therapy and we will go way beyond the headlines.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.